Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good, and we ought to be happy to think about things like we'll understand better by and by. For it will be good when we get our full understanding. And if God has been good to you, smile a little bit. If you're not smiling, I guess you don't think God has been good to you. So, but if you know that God has been good to you, you ought to praise His name and be happy to smile for Him. Today, this morning, we're going to be talking from the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And we're going to use for our topic out of verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I didn't have it on, Paul. So with that, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us again. You have lengthened out our lives that we may be here to see the beginning and the better part of a new day. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You for the blessings of health. Thank You for the blessings of strength, food, shelter, and clothing. Thank You that we are able to worship Thy name because Your Son died on yonder's cross, that we may be able to worship in His church, O Lord. Thank You, Father. We pray for each and every member here today, and we pray that You would be with them and their families. We pray especially for the sick who may not be here, and we pray for those who may be traveling. We pray for our leadership and as well as their families. And for the men and the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, we pray for them and their families. We pray that once these services have been completed, O Heavenly Father, that if we have been found faithful, and that it may be acceptable in Thy sight. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and thank You once again, Father, for all You do for us. Please continue to bless the families, the children, the husbands, the wives, and of those who are raising children especially, O Lord. Thank You, Father, that all might be well with each and every one of us. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we ask all these blessings. Let us say, amen.
Amen.
From that second verse of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So we want to talk about the day of the Lord. Now, let's just put one thing out front, get it up straight here. The day of the Lord should not be confused with the Lord's day. The Lord's day is where we are today. This is where and when we come together to learn, to teach, to pray, to sing, and to give and take communion of the Lord. But the day of the Lord is when He shall come, and that is the truth. When we think about the day of the Lord, we are all in the driver's seat of our lives. It is up to us which way we go. We have two choices. We can go the right way, or we can go the wrong way. God is in charge of our eternity, of course, but we have been given an opportunity and the knowledge to decide which way we go in this life. Today, the text speaks of the certainty of the coming of Christ, but not the particular time. When it comes to the world of religion, there are some who are asleep and there are some who are awake. And into that group, there's two subgroups, the saved and the unsaved. And when we qualify that, we find not all who are asleep are lost, but all that are lost must be asleep, because how else could they miss the truth of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? When we become Christians, one does not cease to be a human being, nor be a part of the human race. We all know that we were human before we were Christians. We know that we were living in this world before we became a Christian. But since we do not leave the human race because we become a Christian, we must change our ways, though. As a Christian, Christ Himself promised us peace. Even in tribulation, we have been promised peace, or in tribulation or trouble. In John chapter 16, in the verses number 33, The Lord said, I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall find tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our lesson in verse number 2, Jesus is compared to his coming is compared to that as a thief. But I want you to know Jesus is not a thief. A thief takes what is not his. His mission in life is to steal. A thief has no other way in life, no other than to steal. If he does not steal, his life doesn't seem to be complete. But our Lord and Savior is coming not as that kind of thief. And why, you may ask, is he coming? Jesus already owns everything, so he doesn't have to steal anything. So when a thief comes, he usually comes unannounced. How many of you have had your something stolen from you? And if you have, you know the problems of being a victim of a thief. Not only that, but I'll ask you this question. When the thief got ready to come to, say, your house, did he call you early on and tell you, I'm coming today? No, he did not. Thieves don't give early warning signals. But the Bible has already given us a warning sign that Jesus is coming. So when we compare the thought of the Bible where it says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You see, a thief is a thief. But Jesus is Jesus, and so there is a big difference there. A thief comes unannounced, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, where Jesus made his announcement. He said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And when you think about that time that you lost something, you know that you didn't get a warning signal like that. Jesus has announced his coming over 2,000 years ago. And some might say, well, Jesus announced that he was going to come back. Jesus announced that he is coming, and it'll be like the day of his coming will be like a thief in the night. But somebody may say, well, but Jesus may be coming, but we don't know when he is coming. Well, in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 32, the Bible says, the day nor the hour knoweth no man. The angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, only the Father knows when he is going to send back to claim what is his. But he wants us to know and just to be ready. Even though we may not know the time nor the hour, we need to be prepared and we need to get ready. We need to be at least always prepared. That's just like when you go to work. Your boss may not tell you what time your check is there, is going to be ready, but you're standing there anxiously awaiting the arrival of your check. And you're ready and waiting when that check comes. But if we were told when Jesus was coming, think about it, church. If we were told when Jesus was coming, we wouldn't be able to get into the church because there would be a crowd that would be crushing the doors of the church, would it not? There would be so many that the church would be full. The balcony up there would be full. Even there would be standing room only because so many people would want to get in to get themselves in a safe position. But then, since we don't know, it behooves us to learn to prepare ourselves before that day comes. And I know what a lot of us like to do. A lot of us like to wait till the very last minute to get ready when we have something important coming in our lives. I watch it from time to time as people know that a deadline is coming, but yet they wait until that deadline is within days upon them before they decide, I'm going to act. Well, most of us would be searching our hearts if we knew when Jesus was coming. We would be like in 1 John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, every man that has this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. That means that no longer would the preacher have to tell the church how they need to be pure in heart. No longer would he have to dwell on the goodness of Jesus, because we would already know if we knew when he was coming. But since we don't know when Jesus is coming, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to make sure that we're always ready. Doesn't the Bible tell you to be ye ready? That's what the Bible means. Get yourself ready because the day is coming. A thief comes to take something that's not his. A thief comes to take something of value. In verse number 2 of the text, once again, it said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So in the text, we are kind of led to think that Jesus is a thief, but that Jesus is not. He already knows what's valuable to him, and we are. Therefore, he is coming what's already his. A thief comes to take what's not his and make it his own. So what makes us of value to Jesus, who already has everything? A Christian is of value because we are his. In 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 6, and the verse is number 19 and verse number 20. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which we have of God and not of our own. And then in verse 20, we are told we are bought with a price. And to glorify God in body and spirit, because they are God's. We belong to God, church. Both our bodies and spirits are bought and paid with a price. They are his. We didn't pay anything for ourselves, but Christ paid it all for us. Therefore, we must use our bodies to the service and the glory of God. Many people don't realize a thief has visited them in their homes in particular until they look for whatever has been stolen from them. And many folks are like that about Christ. They don't realize he is missing in their lives until they need him. Unfortunately, sometimes it may be a little bit too late. We have all watched the politics that have played out in our nation's capital. And we have watched the balancing act on the back of the poor. And now I'm not calling any side right or wrong. The only thing that I'm saying is we've got to be ready for the Lord God, because we can't allow the politicians to play with our lives. We've got to get ready. A thief usually comes under the cover of darkness. He prefers darkness, and not necessarily do I mean night. He prefers that nobody else is around when he can ease in and ease out without being noticed. After reading these first few verses in 1 Thessalonians, let us read them once again, starting with verse number 1 in chapter 5. "But the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know how perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, that the children of the day, we are of the night. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." We have been shown the light as Christians. We know that the Lord is going to come. We have been warned. We have been told. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, that's part of the theme of the New Testament. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming for us. We sing that song, "Jesus is coming soon." But how many of us actually believe that Jesus is coming soon? Don't raise your hand. When you think about it, when you look at this matter as a whole, when you look at what the times that we are living in, after reading those verses, I would say that the world is an awfully dark place today. It's dark morally. It's dark economically. It's dark spiritually. It's dark politically. So the day of the Lord, I believe, is drawing nigh. Now, I'm not predicting when the Lord shall come. I'm not saying that I know when the Lord shall come. I'd be a fool to make that kind of statement. But what I'm saying is, all I'm saying is what the Bible says. And looking at the state of this world, we need to heed the advice that can be found in Hebrews chapter 10, around verse number 22 and verse number 23, where the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised. You know, I like that part in there when it talks about wavering. Because some of us are like a flag fluttering in the wind. We're in one day and out the next day. We are Christian on one day and non-Christians on the next day. We flutter like that flag blowing in the wind. The answer cannot be found in the wind. The answer is simply found in God's Word. Again, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. No matter what the world may offer us, and the world does offer some tempting things to us today. No matter what the world may offer us, it's not worth the loss of our soul. When the Lord comes as a thief in the night, nothing we have gained, nothing in this world that we have accomplished, nothing in this world that we have bought to be our own will be more precious than our souls. For our souls are more precious than all the riches of this world. That's why the Lord himself asked the question in Mark chapter 8 when he asked, he said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, that lets me to know I've got to be responsible for my own soul because I've got to determine how much my soul is worth to me. And if my soul is not worth very much to me, guess what? I'm not going to try to do anything to save my soul. But I thank God this morning that he has shown us the way of righteousness. He has shown us the gospel truth. He has went to the cross. He had died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of everlasting life. He shall come as a thief in the night, and we don't want to be found lacking. For we don't want to be found lacking in preparing ourselves. For he will not be coming to steal. He will be coming to claim. He will not be coming to take what's not his, but simply coming to get what is his. And when he comes, he is not coming to sound the 2-minute warning buzzer. The 2-minute warning buzzer has already been sounded. We will get no other warnings than what we have in the Word of God right now. There's not going to be a new Bible printed. There may be a new interpretation, but there won't be another Bible printed with anything new. No new revelations are coming from the Lord himself. He has already told us that he is coming back. The Bible has already told us that we need to prepare ourselves, for we know not the day nor the hour. We have already been told that this day is going to come. So this warning has already been sounded. Look in Mark chapter 13 in verse number 33 and following. It says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." And then in verse number 35, it says, "Watch ye, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. He may come in the evening, he may come at midnight, he may come at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning." But then in verse number 37, Jesus says, "To all, watch." That's a powerful statement. Watch. And when you watch for something, you usually are preparing for something. If you watch carefully, you can prepare yourself to be ready when the Lord comes. And when he comes, since I told you he's not going to sound a warning buzzer, and we need to just watch. For when the Lord shall come, he shall come as a thief, but be careful that you be not found lacking. For there will be no excuses like, "Lord, I was just about to get ready. Lord, I'm not prepared, but I'm on my way to getting prepared." And I know that there will be some who says, "I was going to get ready." But going to get ready and preparing to get ready is not going to be an excuse. "Lord, I'm not ready, quite ready. Can you give me just a little bit more time?" But when he comes, he is coming to get us. And guess where he's coming first, church? He's coming back for his what? His church. So you need to be in the Lord's body so that you can consider yourself that he will come back for us. Now, there will be some who will say, "Well, Lord, it just wasn't a convenient time for me. It wasn't a convenient season for me. It wasn't the right time. I didn't have enough time to prepare myself." And some of us will live to be 70 or 80 years old and we still won't have enough time to prepare in our own minds, that is. We won't have enough time to prepare ourselves. And as I always like to tell you, the preacher is trying to get it to you right now, not in the later on. I won't be going for you in the later on. I'll be going all for James Carter. No way will I be trying to help you get saved, because I'm going to be trying to help myself. And I tell you this all the time, you better heed the warning that's in God's Word, for God's Word does not lie. God's Word does not put on any airs. He tells us straight up that He's coming as a thief in the night. And when a thief comes, he comes to take, not to come to look around. No thief ever broke into a car or a house or a place of business just to look around. He comes to take. And Jesus is coming to claim. So in verse number 2 again, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When the Lord shall come, there won't be no give me one more chance, Lord. When the Lord shall come, and our days shall be at an end, and the time of the Lord will be at hand, then we must be ready. But because whether we're ready or not, the Lord is coming. Whether we're ready or not, the Lord shall bring forth with Him the coming, His coming. He shall come for us. He shall come for us, and whether we're ready or not, as I said, He will take us. The Lord has already given us the warning. It behooves each and every one of us to get ready. It behooves each and every one of us to prepare. If your job told you in 4 months, we're going to close this business up, and in 4 months you would do everything you could to save all that you could. You would try to pay all your bills off. You would try to save everything you could, because you know that you may not have a job in 4 months. But the Lord has given us year after year after year to prepare for His coming. And some of us are still like Him. Some of us apparently still don't believe the fact that one day we're not going to be here any longer. But I read somewhere in the Bible where it says, once appointed to man to die, and after death, then the judgment. When the day of the Lord comes, where will you be found? In what state of mind will you be found? For the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord shall bring destruction to those who don't know Him. The day of the Lord will bring happiness and peace to those who do know Him. But somebody may ask the question this morning, well, how can I be certain that He is coming? Well, that's what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, you ought to believe it. And if the Bible says it, you ought to trust in it. And if the Lord put it in there through His inspired writers, you ought to trust that what He put in there is what's going to happen. And I know there are folk who have made whole new versions of the Bible. They have twisted God's Word, and they have said, this doesn't mean that, but this means that, or this means this. But God's Word, God cannot lie. And so when you think about it, church, if you want to be ready, you must start preparing. And it's going to take us a whole lifetime to get prepared. Now, how long is that lifetime? No one knows how long our lifetimes are. But I can tell you just a thing or two about one thing. And that is, we have only a certain amount of days in this world. Now, I don't know how many, but a certain amount. And when that day comes that the Lord shall come, you must be ready. But because if you're not ready, you're going to go anyway. But if you are ready, you stand a better opportunity to go home with the Lord. So how do I get myself in this position? Well, first you have to come to know the Lord. How do I come to know the Lord? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you've already taken these steps and somewhere your life went astray, and don't think that your life won't go astray. There's many things to tempt Christians today. You don't even have to leave your house to be tempted today. You don't have to even, matter of fact, you don't even have to leave one room of your house. You can stay in any room of your house and be tempted today. By telephone, by radio, by television, by newspaper, by magazines. You can be tempted many ways today. So if somewhere you walked astray and you need to come back home, you ask the Lord to forgive you. First of all, go to Him in prayer, ask Him for His forgiveness. Then you come before the church, asking the church to pray for you, that your life may be put back on the straight and narrow track. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.